When I was elected rector to my last parish, St. Paul's in Schenectady, it was Eastertide. And by the time I began my ministry, we were in the fifth Sunday of Easter. There were five other Episcopal churches within 10 minutes of each other, and each had a little different flavor. St. George's, where I came from, which is the Anglo-Catholic parish with a deep musical tradition and, of course, all the smells and bells and things like that. St. Andrew's over in Scotia, about 5 minutes from St. George's, was a prayer book parish, pretty middle of the road. St. Stephen's was a branch off of St. George's, was the more progressive church, at least socially and otherwise. Christ Church, St. Paul's, was prayer book, but with a little sprinkle of this and that, and kind of like you put on top of a cone sort of thing, until I came. And then I fixed it. That's not just no, I did. And then there was Christ Church, which was the charismatic parish. And so it was the tradition amongst the five parishes that when a new rector was called, that rector would go and preach at a particular time at one of the other churches. So I was the new kid on the block, and I'm trying to get my bearings and that whole thing, and I get a call from the rector of Christ Church, and he wants me to come and preach at a vigil for Pentecost. So I'm like, sure, I can do that. And I knew, of course, about Christ Church and their tradition, but I thought I'd be a little bit perhaps too clever by half. So I decided to preach on the passage about the gifts of the Spirit, particularly the gifts of glossolalia, speaking in tongues. And not in a pejorative way by any sense, but people oftentimes confuse what speaking in tongues truly is about. And I had written a paper about it in seminary, so I thought I would be erudite and otherwise learned and share my thoughts with the people, good people of Christ Church who were charismatic. And since it was a vigil for Pentecost, even though it was on a Thursday, they were all excitable because, of course, they're charismatic, it's Pentecost, the Spirit, you know, the whole woohoo deal, and which is not a bad thing. They had a screen too, but their screen had a bouncing ball, so for those of you who like the screens. Anyway, so we go, the praise band is playing, playing and that sort of thing. They had this moment to witness, and everybody's witnessing, and that's a good thing too. And then people start making kind of funny noises, and I'm like, what is that? I've never really experienced that. So I'm like, okay, so I prepared the sermon to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, particularly glossolalia, in the Pauline understanding of what it was. So now I gotta either dial this back or think of something else real fast. So I preached the sermon. It was well received. They were appreciative of the fact. And I simply mentioned that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, which they are for the edification of the body. They're for building up the body of Christ. Not everyone is given the gifts of speaking in tongues, and those who are given, there is one given the gift of interpretation. And no matter what is said or what is spoken in tongues, it's that interpretation that is for the edification and building up of the body of Christ. Now, we're not going to go into all of the rest of the various gifts of the Spirit, prophecy and working of miracles and all those things, but each one of us has gifts. We all know that, or maybe you don't. And if you don't, perhaps maybe it's time to discern what your gifts are to offer back to the church. I know, for instance, that Pastor Ronnie has a wonderful gift for teaching, and those of you who have been to his classes know that as well. He has a particular way of elucidating and making the difficult simple. We know that Wayne has a wonderful gift of music, as do our members of our praise band. Some days I still am figuring out what my gifts are, but most days I think I can put two and two together and figure that out. But each of us are called to discern the gifts we are given by the Spirit, not for ourselves, not for our own edification, but for building up the body of Christ. And so what Paul was talking about in terms of all of those gifts being given was that everybody has a job and a role to play to make the church grow and grow into the full stature of Christ. Each one of us is given that. And so while there are gifts of the Spirit, there are also fruits of the Spirit. Now, fruits of the Spirit are different from gifts of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit are those attributes, I'm going to go through them very briefly, those attributes which the Spirit endows each of us with, both individually, as a parish, I hope, as a diocese, as I asked you last week to pray the three prayers that Bishop-elect Snook asked us to pray for our neighbors, for an increase of faith, for an increase of evangelism and those things. So too, this morning, I would ask us to pray on this Pentecost Whitsun Day for both a discernment of the fruits of the Spirit that each of us are given, and for an increase in those fruits, that those fruits as seeds in us might bear fruit, so that as Jesus sent forth the apostles, remember he gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, well now the Spirit has fallen not only on the apostles as a group, but with all those who are gathered at that particular time of the day of Whitsunday. And so they're from different parts of the region. And of course they speak different languages. They don't understand each other until the Spirit falls. Now who remembers the story of the Tower of Babel? Anybody? The Tower of Babel. Great story. So the Tower of Babel basically was a tower that folks way back in the Old Testament thought that they would build to get to God. They thought they'd be clever by half two. And they'd build this huge tower so that they could reach into the heavens and be like God and be with God. But God confounded them. God messed up all their languages so that they could not communicate. So they could not be like God. They could not attain to God. They did not understand each other. They could not communicate. The Pentecost event reverses all of that. Not only when the Spirit falls do they understand each other, but they speak with one voice. They speak with a voice of unity. They speak with a voice that praises God. They speak with a voice that the Holy Spirit gave each of them to know and discern that love of God in their lives and to share it. So, the fruits of the Spirit. And where's Carol? I bet Carol knows the little ditty. We're not going to ask you to sing it now, but I know you know it. I know you know the fruits of the Spirit ditty because you know all those little ditties. I know you know it, because I think you've sung it to me before, but that's another time, because I know my wife knows it, and she knows, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, and that sort of thing. It's a good way to remember never mind. That's all right. Anyway, the fruits of the Spirit are found in Galatians, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And he was writing to them to encourage them. He was encouraging them to grow in the stature of Christ. He was encouraging them to grow in the unity of the Spirit. And he was encouraging them to pray for both a discernment of the fruits and that those fruits indeed would grow and bear fruit as well. So the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, of course, certainly the primary gift of the Spirit, most simply understood in St. John's letter, where he says simply, God is love. But God is love in the sense of sacrificial love, offering himself on the cross that we might have the gift of eternal life and have the forgiveness of sins. We're called, of course, first and foremost as Christians, to live into that love and to make that love actionable in our lives. Joy is to see the beauty in all of creation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Joy differs from happiness. You've heard me say this before. Happiness is when my dog greets me at the door. Happiness is a, you know, double animal double In-N-Out burger. That's nice. That's happiness. I agree. Happiness is a day of sunshine in San Diego. Joy is eternal. Joy is that feeling, that absolute knowledge in your soul that there is something good that can only come from God, that can only come from God. While happiness is fleeting, joy is not. Joy is eternal because it's rooted in the love of God, both inwardly and outwardly, in and through creation. Peace, Pastor Ronnie preached perhaps one of the best sermons I ever heard preached about peace last week, 2 weeks ago, so I won't impinge upon that. But the thing for me when I think about peace is the final blessing, the peace of God which passes all understanding, all human understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That peace is not a peace that the world can offer or a peace that the world can give. It, too, is an eternal attribute of our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience, oh, my downfall. Patience, yeah. I like to think of patience in terms of fruits of the Spirit as waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. You know, we all want what we want when we want it, right? Whether it's a thing or it's the vacation or whatever it is, we want it, rather than waiting for whatever comes, whatever God gives us, to come to us. And then embrace it. Embrace it as a gift and use it as God would have us to do. Kindness. Kindness is a big word, to be kind. When I think of kindness in terms of fruits of the Spirit, I think of a singular action, a singular action. A good example of that would be the Good Samaritan. Remember, the Good Samaritan was traveling down the road and there was somebody wounded and sick on the side of the road. And all the priests walked by and this one walked by and nobody helped him. But the Good Samaritan stopped and helped the individual out of the goodness and kindness, not only of his heart, by that, but also by that which was inspired by the Spirit, an act of singular goodness. And then we have goodness. Goodness is distinguished from kindness because it's ministering in love. A good person can also be kind, but a kind person isn't always good. Does that make sense? So goodness is ministering in love on an ongoing basis, not a singular action, but on an ongoing basis. And then faithfulness. Well, faithfulness really is the center of our being, is it not? Because it's in our faith in the coming of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and fruit of the Spirit that we're called forward in Christ. And the passage that I like to hold on to is from Hebrews. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Say it again. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? We hope that Jesus' promises are true, that our sins are forgiven, that we're given the gift of eternal life. Those gifts and those promises were affirmed on Pentecost when the Spirit fell, but it's also the assurance of things not seen because we have not experienced that yet. We will, through hope and through faith experience those things, but we have not yet. So faith is that which moves us forward, which calls us forward, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Gentleness. You know, we've all come up against and with and through and by and met people from all stripes and of life, right? In your daily life work. Some people are a little gruff, some people are distant, some people are, you know, warm and fuzzy, some people are prickly pears. There's different types of people. But you know when you've come across a person who exhibits gentleness. You just know that. There's a sense of ease, there's a sense of peace about the person. And gentleness, if you will, is a way of life. It is a fruit of the Spirit that we are called to be gentle in Christ. And then lastly, self-control. And without self-control, well, the rest of them kind of fly out the window. So in elementary school, in second grade, we used to get these report cards, not in second grade, kindergarten for a second. And they had behavior little blocks. And part of the behavior was a couple of them. There was listening, there was self-control, and there was something else. Well, I always got pretty high score, had pretty high marks on listening, but the self-control part, I wasn't bad. I was like, so it was excellent, good, fair, failure. So I was like good with a 2, so I was like, no, whatever. But self-control is not giving in to temptation. It's not giving in to the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's saying no to that and saying yes to Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so those fruits of the Spirit are those that we pray for today on this Whitsunday, on this Pentecost. And on this Whitsunday, Pentecost, we have a very special event when Carolyn will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism in just a few minutes. And so I bid your prayers for Carolyn, for her family this day, and we pray that she would be inspired and filled with the Holy Spirit, that she would be sent forth from this place knowing both the gifts and the fruits, and that by her life and witness and example, she would bear those fruits as well in the love of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, and purify our hearts, that when our Lord Jesus Christ cometh, he may find in us a mansion worthily prepared. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We will stand and sing hymn 296.